God, there's few cliffs you feel like you're holding court with people, having a laugh with people you know, and then you leave those people and you see other, like, strangers looking at you going, oh, you were loud and we hate you. You know, like, if you've ever done certain substances, they always tell you, you know, the transitioning is really hard, right? You go from one room to the next, and that usually is a bit of a trip, right?
Yeah.
It's why being outside is good, because yeah. It doesn't, you know, there's no rooms. It's just one big space. You don't have to change it up. It's fine. And anything that is going to change, like, you see a mile away, right? But that just happened to me right now in the newsroom where I was being loud. And then I looked at all the 680 workers working away. And 680, it's the weirdest place, because some days there'll be no one in there. I'm like, did you guys know there's no news today? And then other days it's like hustle and bustle, what you would see in a movie.
Yeah, a TV show version of a newsroom.
Yeah, it's like the Boston Globe in the 1990s. The newsroom is just flooded and everyone's in there. And I had one of those. I turned around today and it's just 50 people in there.
Oh, everyone's here.
Looking at me going, why are you so loud?
Why?
You're not funny.
Why are you so mad about coffee?
Yeah. Why are you yelling at this new guy? You're a jerk. Sucks. Baseball is definitively having a moment this season, and it's strange because in Toronto, I don't want to say everybody hates baseball, but everybody's pissed. Everybody's pretty pissed off. And it's even more annoying when you have to say the whole thing about, hey, they're a good baseball team, because as we went over earlier in the week, it's the Jays are in a division with the Yankees and Red Sox, and we all understand this. And then when those two teams have down cycles, you want to be the team. And as Vladdy and Bo were coming up, everyone was looking at these guys and all of the prospects they had around them and the buzz around Shapiro and Atkins and the fact that they were going to have more of a budget coming out of the pandemic than other teams. And people said, this is going to be the team of the decade. And it's just not going to happen that way. The Orioles are far better positioned. They're ahead of them in the standings right now. And the Rays, who don't spend any money, just continue to be the Rays. They find a way to be who they are. I don't understand why they don't get more talent poached from them. How someone hasn't stolen the secret formula from Tampa. It shouldn't be Fort Knox.
If I was in another team,
yeah,
and heard that the Rays were interested in any of my players, I'd be like, absolutely not. We got to keep this guy at all costs.
I mean, they're one of the scariest teams in all of sports.
Crazy.
And so people here are a little flummoxed by that, I would say. But the rest of baseball, and to a degree, it has affected the Jays. I don't want to be too down about it, because I have enjoyed some Jays moments and some Jays storylines. And I still love going to a baseball game, probably, yeah, I think more than any other sporting event. Because with basketball, if you have great seats, that's the best spot. That's the best thing to go to. A high event basketball game where you're seeing a star, that's amazing. But the worst baseball game you could go to is a way better time than sitting in the 300s and watching the Raptors play the Hornets.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's not close. Hockey, it's good for the vantage point of seeing the sport differently. But here, the arena's dead a lot. And it's so expensive that you sit there and you go, ugh, this is a lot of money. So, beaucoup bucks. And I've said, I love going to a football game for the experience of a football game. And Argos here in the city, I still think, again, is best bang for your buck. You cannot beat an Argos
underrated
game on a beautiful night. You go down there, it's the best. Same with TFC.
TFC is good too, yeah.
Yeah, like, going to BMO is amazing. But NFL, I'd much rather watch all the games on the couch.
100%.
Than go to a game at 1 o'clock. And yeah, that just, it's seeing a football game live. It's not as nearly as aesthetically pleasing. So yeah, baseball is the one. So I love it. But you're watching this game yesterday and I'm going, man, I love caring. And I love that they, like, baseball, there's a level of trying, right? It's just, you can't really help it. You put the best pitchers out there. You got the best hitters out there. But it's not basketball where they're not going to play defense. You're just going to take a hack. You're going to throw a pitch. You're not going to try to groove one to somebody. And then, like, Shohei is getting these chants. And I'm thinking, man, this is so cool that maybe the second half people start appreciating what Shohei Ohtani's doing more, because every ballpark he goes to with meaningful fans or a decent team starts chanting his name.
Yeah.
And we all start to really get invested in the Shohei sweepstakes.
Yeah.
And he becomes like LeBron leaving Cleveland year, where we're starting to get real content from it. I don't know. It's not the same. I get it. But he's just such a spectacular and interesting talent. And he's probably going to go down as the like greatest athlete in the modern era, where we have access to everything that the fewest people actually see. Right? So now there's that cool storyline. And then Romano gets the back tightness. And I just immediately seize up as a sports fan now, because I want the caring. I want a product like that where, you know, Bobichette says he does good hitting, gets a sack fly.
Yeah.
And he says, I want to win the baseball game, and I know I could have hit it harder. And I go, yes, I try to win, try to do good stuff. And then Romano gets hurt, and I'm reminded that this is just the way things are now. Someone gets tweaked at an all-star game, and I have to fear for what this implication is going to be from sports fans and executives alike when it comes to players doing the sport. Like, I got so triggered about the World Baseball Classic, right? Because there were so many Canadian guys that didn't go, like Josh Naylor. Hmm. And he went, no, well, I was working back from recovery. I'm like, go play baseball. You're playing spring training games. Go to where there's better baseball. Just do it. Anyway, I love, love, love the moment that the sport is having right now. I think that they've just basically, everything has been pure, 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 pure gold. Like, everything has worked out for them. Honestly, I can't remember ever seeing sort of a sport have this. Like, look at the NBA right now. They're trying to tweak stuff, and they go, we got the play-in tournament. And you're like,
Nobody cares.
I will watch it, I guess.
For sure.
But is Pacers Nets going to be that much more interesting in the middle of the year?
Nobody's pumped about it. Nobody's like, yes, the play-in tournament, finally.
Yeah. Anyway, I'm really excited for the second half of baseball. And weirdly, I'm a little nervous about, though, the home team. The team that's here. Anyway, Dan Schulman, play-by-play voice of the Blue Jays. Good morning, sir. How are we doing today?
Good morning. How are you guys doing?
I'm doing well. Just a quick thing, because I've been talking about Shohei more lately because, if you looked at the last month he just had, I think Jeff Passan just wrote an article that it was the greatest in the sport's history, and I think there's a pretty strong case for that. And yet baseball's not a national sport for most markets anyways, for most fans, right? I don't think a ton of people watch Shohei Ohtani, but the All-Star game was a bit of a reminder for me where you've got all those Seattle fans chanting, come to Seattle, that with his potential free agency viability down the second half, and as we get to a trade deadline, and he is just the biggest name that we'll ever see potentially mixed in these rumors, do you think that this is going to spark maybe more national interest in Shohei Ohtani? Like, will he become a bigger sports personality as we go into some dry months and his name is top of the pile where people can dream on having him?
Sure. Well, 100%. I think it'll be the biggest story at the trade deadline, unless there's an ironclad statement from Artie Moreno saying, I don't care what our record is, he's not going anywhere. And then he will easily be the biggest story in free agency, unless obviously the Angels lock him up preemptively. But there's never, this isn't a once a decade or once a generation, like this is a unicorn. Yeah. Like this has never happened. And I don't think any of us will ever see this again. I think we'll see other two-way players, but I don't think we'll see it at anywhere near the level we're seeing it now. I don't know how you evaluate what he's worth either in trade or in contract. Because you know, it's like people are saying, well, it's like having Yordan Alvarez and, pick a great pitcher and Sonny Gray, like he's both and he's better and whatever, but
and he's more marketable and he's cooler
and he's just more marketable.
Just everything.
Yeah. And he's the most popular guy in the game. Like, look at the way other players react to him. It's like Vladdy, actually, right? Everybody loves Shohei the same way that everybody on the field loves Vladdy. So for the good of the sport, I hope whenever it is, he winds up somewhere where he gets a chance to play in the playoffs. I mean, what a shame it would be if this guy never plays in the postseason, especially when 12 teams are getting in every year. Wouldn't you love to be a fly on the wall of his agent's office and just listen to those phone conversations over the winter? But yeah, it's going to be great. It'll be the biggest story in the sport. And in the U.S., will it compete with whatever Aaron Rodgers is doing, or compete, right? Or in the NBA with all the drama going on in the NBA, maybe not, but by baseball standards, it'll be huge.
No, yeah, the Damian Lillard trade will definitely get more pub than this. It's like the guy who never won in Portland, it's like, yeah, one of the best five guards in the NBA is going to get traded, and people will, it will definitely lead shows south of the border and here over some of the Shohei stuff. Actually, maybe not here because baseball is going to be red hot, but yeah, the one thing that I really truly believe now with Shohei, though, is we all thought Mike Trout was that, right? We thought he was this the greatest baseball. There were people that said he was already the greatest baseball player that ever lived. And you think someone's the main character in a story, but that was the twist, is that we all watched Mike Trout, and then he signed that contract extension, and now he's hurt again, and it's starting to look like, hey, maybe this is never going to happen. And Shohei gets to look at him and say, this is why you don't sign with the Angels, is that Mike Trout could walk into any grocery store in Canada today and maybe one person would recognize him. You know, someone would look twice and go, I think I know him. Are you an actor from Head and Shoulders commercials? Like, like that's it. And he never played a postseason moment. And yeah, he'll be in a multi-millionaire. That's fine. But yeah, I hope Shohei wants more. I think he wants the legacy. I've said this, and a lot of people disagree. I would rather have him be a Yankee or a Red Sox so I got to see him more often and be in a relevant market than I would have him stay with the Angels. Like, unquestionably for me.
What about a Cub? What about a compromise?
No,
you know,
man, I just want to. I want to be able to go down to the ballpark and see that guy all the time.
Oh,
and
it'd be cool. It'd be great.
I know he's not going to be a Blue Jay, and basically, I don't know if you heard any of my lead up today. I went, it's like Blue Jays. I said this is the way that I'm framing them right now. It's obviously they're a good team, but it's everyone's a little bit disappointed right now, and there's like some fan shaming that's happening because people scold fans and go, well, the team is good and the same record as a year from now. It's like, yes, for sure, they're fine, but there's nothing really special about the Blue Jays outside of, I would say, Bo Bichette. There's not like a special unit. They don't have a special offense. They don't have a special pitching staff. They don't have a special bullpen. It's all just good and fine. And the most frustrating part is that the Orioles and the Rays have jumped them as the team of the next 5 years kind of thing that the Blue Jays had in their back pocket of, hey, we're developing towards being that something special, and there's these other two teams have done it. And so I guess I'll put it to you this way, is if the Jays have a chance at having something special in the second half, what do you think it is?
Like, how far do I think they can, or what what trait is
Yes. What's the trait about the team that you think has, they've left the most on the table, and that they have the highest ceiling, where we're going to look at the second half and go, okay, you know what? This is the defining characteristic of the team. Because frankly, like right now, I don't really know what it is.
It's a good question. So I'll give you kind of a silly answer. I think it's just wins. And how do they win those games, which I know is what you're asking. I think if they're going to have a defining characteristic, it'll be playing, here's a very vague phrase that I'll try to explain, it'll be playing winning baseball. It'll be one day the bullpen comes in and gives you great innings like they did on Sunday in Detroit. Then the next day, Kiermaier makes a great catch, and that helps them win. And then the next day, Merrifield and Varsho pull off a double steal at a key. Like, you know what I mean? Like, winning baseball, because that's what they were that's what they told us they were going to be in the spring, right? So I don't think they're going to be overwhelming in any area, be it starting pitching, relief pitching, offense. The defense is very good. Like, the defense undeniably is very, very good this year. But I think it'll just be playing winning baseball, winning a lot of close games. You know, one day somebody pushes a bunt to bring in the winning run. One day somebody hits a homer. Like, you do it. You find ways to win, like those Giants teams did when they were winning the World Series. They weren't the most talented teams, and this team is talented. It's really funny because, and I know you know this, and I'm not being an apologist at all. I'm the first to say it's been a little underwhelming. You expected a little bit more. They have a better record in a harder division than they had either of the last 2 years, and it's underwhelming. You know what I mean? Like, it's a bit confusing. Right now, 2021, they did have those overwhelming. They had Vladdy. They had Simeon. They had Robbie Ray. The offense was a monster, but the bullpen was a disaster for half of the season. It really was. The first half of the season, the bullpen was a disaster. So they were, you know, we were talking Simeon and Ray and Vladdy and Teo, and they were monsters in some ways.
Fun,
but they
too.
Didn't win enough games. Pardon me?
Fun, too. You know,
fun
those were fun guys to talk about.
Super fun. Yes. winning is fun too, I think. So, you know,
winning is very fun. I agree.
Winning is very fun. Yes. Yeah. So, but, you know, they were different. They had stronger strengths, but bigger weaknesses in 2021. This year, everything is kind of pushed in towards the center a little bit, I guess. But I do think there's upside there, but I'm not one of these people who says, well, it's automatically going to normalize. And they're like, you got to play better. You got to do it. Right. So, here comes some ifs, you know, can Vladdy be a little bit better? Can Varsho be a little bit better? Can Kirk be a little bit better? I don't know the answer to any of those three. And then on the pitching side, can Manoah just keep them in games? Because that's better than what they got in the first half. And then you've got Hyunjin Ryu and Chad Green hopefully coming, which really rounds out your pitching staff. It may not raise the ceiling, but it certainly raises the floor because, you know, now you've just got more depth, more options. Let's assume Romano's okay, that it's just a minor thing, right? Because that's a whole different conversation. But I do think there's upside here, but you got to go out and show it on the field. They're fortunate that neither the Astros nor the Yankees took off in the first half. They're really fortunate. Don't look now. The Red Sox are in this thing too.
That was apparent when they beat the brakes off the Jays in a series. Yeah. And you looked at the standings and went, wait, they just caught you. That sucked.
The Red Sox are only two games back of the Blue Jays right now. And obviously, forget about the tiebreaker. It is mathematically impossible for them to win the tiebreaker with the Red Sox right now. But they've just got to, you know, when they play they don't play the Yankees till the end of September, but when they play the Red Sox, play the Yankees, play the Orioles, they got to do better. Like it's playing, they just got to do better if they want to be in this thing.
No, you know what though? I love that answer. That's so true because I think there have been a couple of things. It's not always one thing, right? That make a season frustrating because you're right. Everyone does know that the team is good. It's really hard to argue. And the way you framed it as they've moved to the center is definitely a proper one, right? There's no disastrous area of the baseball team minus runners in scoring position, which. You know, that has obviously been by far the worst one, but you have to expect some regression there to a certain degree. My God, you can't have a top 10 OPS and WRC plus and then be what, 23rd and hit scoring runners in scoring position. It just can't happen this way. I have to believe that something will change. Something, please, for the love of God, because I can't do another half season where it's like that.
Believe me, I've said it more than you've heard it.
I know.
So.
I watch every game and you're there.
Yeah.
I hear your voice. Anyway, I agree. I think that we were told that this team was going to be a mature baseball team and that they weren't going to have outs on the base paths and they weren't going to be, you know, absent-minded at times. And we've still seen that despite the outfield defense, I would say, being basically spectacular on any given night. There does feel like bad at-bats and those mistakes on the bases. It's been there. It's been with this team for some stretches of the year. So I think if they were able to do what you're saying, where they're a gutsy team and they just find ways to win, but nothing is special other than that quality, I do believe people would turn a bit and go, no, these guys are tough. These guys have an attitude. They have a swagger to them. And that's been one of the things that's been sort of missing with the Blue Jays this year is in years past when you were referencing those other guys like Teoscar and Lourdes leaving, people still wanted that more maturity. But now it's like the fun of those guys is gone, but the maturity hasn't fully arrived. And that has been kind of tough to swallow.
Yeah, no, I get that. And I think you've got to break it down into specific areas. And the base running is certainly one area where it should have been better than it is. At times, it's been great and opportunistic. And
Varsho's amazing at it. I love watching him.
Varsho's amazing at it. Yeah. And I know he's not hitting. I need to say Varsho's defense and Varsho's base running are so unbelievably good.
Just get on base.
And there's value there.
Just get on base, though, because it's so beautiful when you get there. I just need to see it more often.
Right. Here's the problem. You can look at his offense, his hitting numbers. You can look at his numbers. How many people are actually, you know, looking at base running metrics and defensive metrics? And
not me.
But there's value there. I feel for the guy. Like, he gets traded for one very popular player and one very highly thought of prospect. Mm-hmm. The popular guy goes to the All-Star game and is playing rock, paper, scissors with Vladdy across the field.
Like, it hurts.
All Varsho wants to do is show the fans and show his teammates he's a good player. And he is a good player, and he'll be a good player. But I feel for him. I think it's been a tough first half, and maybe he's felt some pressure. I know he puts pressure on himself. I mean, he's told me that. So, but he's a phenomenal base runner. Kiermaier's a phenomenal base runner. Merrifield's been great with a couple of exceptions where he's been too aggressive. You know, Vladdy's run into some outs he shouldn't have because Vladdy gets very excited out there on the bases. So, but overall, the base running has been better than it was, but not as good as it should be, in my opinion. The defense has been great. Outfield defense is great. Bo is much, much better. Like, how often do you talk about Bo's defense on your show?
No, totally agree. And, probably the most underrated, like, positive Blue Jay story of the season.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. His defense has been just fine, maybe a little bit better than just fine. Like, it certainly hasn't been the story. Nobody has said in months they got to move him to second base. Nobody has said that because it's not a story anymore. So the defense has been very good. The scoring position thing obviously has been the big talking point. It's funny, on the road trip, I remember looking at the beginning of the road trip, it was like 237 or something. I just look now, it's 246. Like, you can have a 9-for-15 kind of day, and but you win the game 12-2, right? So even runners in scoring position can be a little bit misleading. Like, better is like low leverage, medium leverage, high leverage, that kind of stuff. Those are actually more meaningful, but that's a little more subtle, I guess, for some of the viewing audience. But they do have to hit more in key spots, whatever that means. And God bless Danny Jansen for doing what he did on Sunday, because I think even our conversation, honestly, JD, would have a different vibe if they'd lost that game on Sunday. And if they make the playoffs by one game, that's the one I think that I'm going to be looking at to say they did it. But, they all know it's not like they're running away from the idea that they need to be better and they should be better than they've been. They know that. But you got to go out and do it on the field, because at the end of the day, your record is what it says it is, right?
Well, wasn't it against the Tigers, the game where Semien threw the ball away?
Yes, two years ago, yes.
So there you go. Maybe that's the thing. The Tigers. It's the Tigers swing, the one-game Tigers swing where you steal one versus you blow one that puts you in the playoffs. And, that's sort of what you were talking about, where it's a clutch at-bat from a player that has come through in those spots. And you go, okay, that's a gritty way to win. You sucked all game. That game was horrible. That was that was a dreadful afternoon for me. I actually, where you're talking about shifting the narratives, I really try to wait with tweets for later in games, not just fourth inning blast pissed. And thank God in that game, because there's like four or five in my drafts that were bad, that were bad. And you're right. They definitely needed that game. The Varsho thing is super interesting to me in terms of what happens second half, because I do feel like he's just an important guy when it comes to these at-bats, a guy that if they can put him on base, he scores. I think it was in the Tigers game or one of the ones in the series where he got on first and he scored on the hit, like from first base. What game was that?
He scored. Yeah, no, it was the
White Sox.
He scored from first. It was extra innings.
Yeah,
It was the 10th inning on Sunday.
Yes.
Kirk was the runner at second.
Yes.
Varsho hit a ground ball to the right side. They threw Kirk out at third.
Yeah.
Varsho was at first on the fielder's choice. And then Lucas doubled and Varsho scored.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just love watching him on the bases, though, because I go, how did you ever even become a baseball player? I would have thought that when you were in high school, some football coach would have gone, you're not doing that. Like, come over here. You're going to hold on to this ball and lower your head and go forward. And then bigger guys are going to hit you. And it will suck sometimes, but you're going to be a good running back. Like, you don't normally see guys that have his sort of body type and his running style in baseball. Yeah. And that's why I just wish he would get on more. And I think that he's a key cog. But the part of him, though, too, is the same thing with Belt and the adjustments that this team made this season, is that they went and said, we're going to get more left-handed bats here. It's going to be good. And the offense has been mostly fine, except for when you look at them versus left-handed pitching. And my favorite thing to do is bet the under on the Blue Jays when they face a lefty. It's the easiest lock that you can basically ever have is to go, under tonight. I don't care if this lefty stinks. I don't care if he's soft tossing hard. Like, doesn't matter. They're not going to hit him. And it feels kind of urgent that they need that righty bat. It's also part of what makes the Gurriel / Teoscar trades look especially weird, is that those guys would just be so perfect as the other DH. But how desperate do you think that they get here in terms of at least trying to add somebody relatively soon, so that, no offense to Lucas and Ernie Clement, that they, that they have another bat that can at least come off the bench or DH from them from the right side.
Yeah. Well, first thing on Varsho, really quickly, he was a safety in high school. And
He should have kept doing that. What, did he have no hands? He just couldn't get any interceptions. He's afraid of contact. Like, he runs in the wall, fine.
No, I don't know. He told me that he didn't like being in coverage. He liked, just running up and trying to find the running back and hitting him or hitting the quarterback. So.
I'm so mad you told me this. He better have highlights. I want to see him. Like, he runs hard. I want to see him light up some high school kid because he's just a bowling ball. That's what I mean. I want to love Varsho, Dan, so badly. Like, I'm there. I want to love him. I want to. But then I, again, watch Gurriel hit grand slams and I see Varsho strike out with one out and a guy on third and I'm just mad. So it's hard.
Yeah, I know.
It's hard.
Do you? Did I ever tell you my opening conversation with him when I met him in spring training?
Maybe you did, but remind me because
He's from Wisconsin.
Oh yeah, so you guys talk Packers, right?
I walked up to him and I stuck my hand out and I said, "Hey, Dalton, I'm Dan Schulman. I'm a Packers fan." He said, "I know."
Yeah, that's it. I love that.
We're good. Yeah.
Yeah. No, you have to love Varsho. He's like, I know that about you immediately. Huge crush. Like 10 out of 10.
Exactly.
If you have any self-respect and someone does that to you, you're like, I root for you till the day I die. I will will fight for you.
In terms of trade deadline, I'm with you. Right-handed bat with some thump. I think that's what they need. Like, they're at the point now, and they don't see many lefties, right? But even in a game where you see a righty, you might have a lefty come in to face a Varsho or a Kiermaier or a Belt or whatever.
It just lights
up. Even if it's just somebody coming off the bench or if it's platooning, like they're at the point now most of the time, all the time really, when a lefty starts against them, Merrifield's in left and Espinal's at second and one of Varsho or Kiermaier isn't playing. So you've got that guy on the bench. But they just need, I'm with you. I think preferably right-handed hitting, preferably an outfielder, and preferably with power. Like a veteran guy who can come off the bench and say, almost like last year of his career, Albert Pujols, you know what I mean? I'm not an outfielder, obviously, but you know what I mean. Like just somebody who understands the assignment. What's the assignment? I come off the bench in a big spot, and I'm a threat. Just be a threat. So, I don't think they're going out and trading for an all-star caliber anything, hitter or pitcher. I think the vast, vast majority of this has to come from within, and from within I'm including Ryu and Green on the pitching side. But they do need more on their bench. And if you go get a guy like that, it gives you a little bit of insurance against injury, too, because they've been pretty lucky on the injury side. I mean, I'm still curious. They got two guys in AAA who have always intrigued me, who intrigue me, in Spencer Horwitz and Davis Schneider. I want to know what they are. I'm curious about Davis Schneider. Everybody I know loves Davis Schneider. Now, he might, everybody says, he keeps surprising us. He keeps going up, and he keeps pushing, and he keeps surprising us. And I don't know if you want to inject that kind of a guy into a pennant race as a guy who's never played in the big leagues before. But they need something that they don't have. But even if they get that guy, JD, that doesn't mean the other guys don't need to do more. The 9 guy or the 13 guys they've got, and they know this, they've all got to do a little bit more. And even if each of them just does 5 to 10% more, is a little bit more opportunistic in high leverage situations, that helps too. I'm really curious about the next couple of weeks. They're playing, they're not in their division at all, as you know. They're playing, Arizona, San Diego, the Dodgers, like teams you don't know. How do you stack up? What are they, 41-20 outside the division or something like that, right? Or 42-20, whatever it is.
They're so good at that.
They should refuse to play games within their own division. So I'm sure they got 5 series in a row against Western teams, 3 NL, 2 AL. And it'll be fun to see how they stack up. But there's so many things. Like, how does Manoah do in his second start?
Yeah.
Is Swanson recharged coming out of the break? There are a lot of things about this team that are important. And I think it's got to – Vladdy going nuts would be great. But I think if they're going to win this, getting back to your question a few minutes ago, I think this is a team thing. They've all just got to do a little bit better.
I completely agree. I do think Vladdy, like if we were doing the what makes the team special conversation, like kind of looping back to that, to me it's two of those things you just touched on, though, which is, hey, can Manoah find it again? And if Ryu gets back and you can go to a 6-man rotation, does that extra day of rest start to get everyone looking nastier? You know, does all of a sudden Bassett get to not feel as much strain on it? The only guy that I think would really, really, really not want to screw with this is Berríos, because he's just like, no, whatever we're doing for me is working incredibly well. Let me keep doing it. But for all the other guys, I feel like six-man rotation, if you could find a way to get two of your starters, maybe three, and Manoah being in the mix for that, to be scary playoff guys again? Because that was it last year. Remember with the Mariners, it was, well, you got to beat Gausman and Manoah. You're not doing that. Yeah. And then they did because, yeah, bullpen. But either way, if you can get back to that, that feels like it. Do you go to six-man rotation? Like, because I think you and Siddle were talking about on the broadcast, and he was saying 2 to 3 more starts before they have a serious conversation about him coming up, right?
Well, this is just, forget it's Ryu. Think, you know, it's, yeah, Johnny Generic coming off of, you know, injury. He's done 3 innings and he's done 4 innings. So yeah, if you just kind of, if he does 5 and 6, now his 4 innings were 37 pitches because he's, yeah, Hyunjin Ryu and it was an A ball. But yeah, so let's say 3 more, you know, he did 37 pitches. Can you get him to 50 to 65 to 80? You know, if you can do that, you're 4 starts away, 3 weeks away, maybe something like that. I don't know that they go to a 6-man, or maybe they do it selectively. Like maybe if you have, you know, 14 games in 14 days, you roll a 6-man a couple of times through. But then when you get the off day, you go back to a 5-man. Yeah. Like if you've got a 6-man and an off day, now Kevin Gausman's only pitching once a week and you want to, yeah, you need to win games, uh-huh, you know? So I could see them doing it selectively. The, you know, the next level question is, well, then if it's not 6, who's not in there? But, you know, as you know, baseball has a way of sorting these things out. So, it's a good problem to have. If everybody they have is pitching well, mm-hmm, and Ryu is healthy and pitching well, that's a good problem to have. But there are a couple of ifs that have to be overcome before they get there.
By the way, this is the last one, because I'm really trying to push them when we're talking about the right-handed bat thing. Do you think that there would be anything that could ingratiate the front office and inject life back into the team, though, than going back and saying, we're bringing back Teo? I feel like that's just such a huge win at this point. You get some fun back in the team. He knows, yeah, he's not playing outfield defense every day. He's your DH from the right side. You find him sometimes where he plays outfield, maybe. But, yeah, now you have that right-handed power bat back in your lineup, and all of a sudden things start to just look a little bit better. Now you can finally put Chapman back down, because it's at the point now where, yeah, him being where he is in the lineup every single time is just pain. It's pure unadulterated pain. And yeah, all of a sudden you throw Teo there with the righty. I like it. I love how the team looks with Teoscar Hernandez.
So he's your cleanup hitter against lefties, yeah, and he plays sometime against righties.
Yeah.
So, because he's not having, for people who don't know, and I haven't looked in a while, he's not having a great year.
No, but his last month, I think he OPS like 950-ish range.
Okay.
No,
okay.
He's turned into Teo again. My theory is that he went to Seattle and he missed Toronto so much. He was sad. And he was in, like, you've been to Seattle. I love Seattle, but it's gloomy, you know? He's like, he's a happy guy. He's in the, yeah, gloom factory that is Seattle. He's upset that Toronto, after all the hard work, didn't want to give him a big bag of money. And he goes there, and yeah, and he was sad. And now he's fine, you know?
Fans
now,
would go nuts.
Yeah,
fans would go nuts.
That's what I'm saying. He's just so to me, it's either you go sort of splashy. That's the splashiest thing you could possibly do, because, I don't know, you're right. He didn't have the biggest year, although he will be in demand. Or you do the right-handed bat thing immediately, kind of like they did with Simber and Richards trade, where they jumped the market, and you just say, listen, we're not going to be spectacular with this, but then we're jumping the market and we're doing this early because we do need it. Like, you need to, I'm sure Davis Schneider is going to be good, but I want this team to win a World Series this year.
No,
this
I'm with you. That's why you need a veteran at this point.
Go get a professional, you know, go get a professional who takes professional at bats.
You know, the funny thing is, back in the day, there were professional veteran pinch hitters. That was a thing.
Yeah,
those guys don't really, you're right. Those guys don't really exist anymore. I mean, part of it is that the National League doesn't have pitchers hitting anymore. Yeah. Every National League team had dudes coming off the bench.
Yeah.
Like absolute dudes. And yeah, the Matt Stairs, those guys are extinct right now, basically. So, but I would love to see them get somebody. I mean, Teo, yeah, I guess. I don't think it's a great, it's an interesting fit. I think I want somebody who grinds out at bats and gets on base at a higher clip a little bit more. Yeah. a little bit less of the all or nothing, because this team can be all or nothing sometimes. So fans would go nuts. That's obvious. But in terms of jumping the market, I don't think it's that early anymore. Like, the draft has happened. What's today? The 12th?
Today's the 12th. You know,
Way to go. You're off and you know the day. That's actually really impressive. I would have zero shot at that. If I can get within two, I'm like, nice. That was pretty good. You know, that's it. So way to go. Vacation Dan knows the day.
I know. I'm decent at day of the week, day of the month. I'm usually a disaster at. So, but we're less than 3 weeks from the deadline, right? Yeah. So Simber was a June guy, I think. Yep. So I think the time, if you're going to do it, do it. But obviously that means, you know, teams are going to try to get a little bit more out of you if you're getting more at bats out of them. But yeah, it would be nice to make a preemptive strike. It would give everybody in the clubhouse a little emotional boost too. They just need a threat. Whether you say off the bench, part-time, platoon, however you want to say it, you know what I mean.
Yeah.
They need one more threat somewhere in that lineup, I think.
They desperately do. Again, all due respect to Ernie Clement, and that was a great moment for Nathan Lucas, but we'd been waiting all year for that, and finally he got one. Like, we're over the midway mark, and there's one moment for this guy who's been with the baseball team since the beginning. And I know back and forth, whatever, but it's just, it's time for a vet. And I think that's actually the biggest flaw in my Teoscar theory is you're bringing a guy in who you want to be basically a platoon player who's trying to get a big bag of money. And I don't know if he would just happily sit there on the bench and go like, yeah, sure, I'll play once every, I'll play half the games down the stretch. I don't know. It just doesn't. I don't know. It doesn't feel right to me. Anyways. Yeah.
No, I'll take a 34-year-old guy who knows his role and wants to win.
Give me right-handed Brandon Belt. That's all. Honestly, like, give me a guy that grinds out at bats, takes walks, just does it from the other side of the plate, right? Like, that's it. Just give me one more professional. That's the thing about Belt I love. But it scares me a bit that a 35-year-old guy who was banged up for a while is such a key cog of, like, making the offense look different, Like, a guy that does it differently at the plate. So to me, I think if you're the Jays, you definitely want to add one more guy that does those at-bats. You nailed it with the Teoscar thing, the all-or-nothing stuff. I want another guy who draws walks and you just is a pain in the ass at the plate, where you go, okay, man, there's two outs. You think you're mowing through this game, and all of a sudden this guy's going to come up and he's going to make that pitcher work. Go get that guy. Find that guy. Identify that player. The team desperately, desperately need it. And I think that it would have an effect around the rest of the roster. Like, I really do. I have to believe it because, again, some of these at-bats have been dreadful. So, please, get another guy who's a little bit more productive.
For your emotional well-being, please.
You got to watch all these games. It's harder for you because you got to be in the booth. And you do, I think I've always told you this, I really love your calls because it really hits a lot of the emotional tenor of the game. But you can't do what I do on the couch, which is swear and be like, that Varsho bat I'm talking about, where I turn the TV off for 5 minutes and go walk into the other room and be like, I hate this team. Like, you can't do that. So for your health too.
No.
Anyways, Dan, thanks for doing this, especially during the break, man. I really do appreciate it.
You got it.
Take care, man.
Be well.
Yeah. Dan Schulman, there he goes. Play-by-play voice of the Blue Jays. I love getting mad at sports, though. It's so fun.
Yeah,
it's so fun to get mad at sports.
Yeah.
But that's it. It's just Twitter. You can't get too mad on there. You should be able to, but it's just, it becomes too tough.
Well, then people do the receipts thing. And
they take you out of context of the moment, and they try to point. It's just stupid. I will tell you this, though. I will never be a Threads guy.
Have you tried it? Did you get on there?
First of all, Threads rots. It's not good. And secondarily, I love all these people that are like, this is the morally right place to be. The sanctimonious people who are like, here's where we should be, where there's going to be less hate. And Twitter is so toxic. And no, Elon. And you go, you do realize that you want to be giving Mark Zuckerberg, who has already basically betrayed the public trust a billion times with, like, misinformation and using your data collection, you want to give him Facebook, Instagram, WhatsApp, and Twitter? You want one guy to own all the things? Yeah. Maybe just let that settle in for 2 seconds before you start going to Threads. Freedom! I hate you, Elon. Shut up.
Also, let's be fair. If Twitter ever does shut down, you know what? Maybe just take a break.
I know. It's sad.
Take a walk.
It's really sad.
Take a lap. We don't need to immediately go to the next
no,
one.
No, but I know, but that we did, and it's just, it's who we are.
Yeah,
we
more
did.
Realistically, we absolutely
we needed
do.
It. We,
yeah.
went, we went, it was five
Everybody
minutes.
Everybody panicked.
It was funny because when it was trade, or I keep calling it trade deadline, free agency day. When it was free agency day and Twitter did the rate limit thing that I think they've backed off. I don't know what the deal. My Twitter's been totally fine
yeah,
since
I've never
that
seen,
day.
Yeah.
So I
did
don't
you
know.
Get rate limited that
no,
day?
No, I've never nah, had one. And I'm on there. It's summer. I'm not on there nearly as much.
Yeah.
So maybe I'll get rate limited in the fall. But as of right now, you know, it has not been an issue for me whatsoever. I would say that Twitter feels a little bit more bot-y lately. For me,
bots.
Like
yeah,
I feel
yeah,
like
yeah.
I've been getting more bots, like a lot of crypto bots.
Sure.
And you know,
reply GPTs.
Yeah, some a little bit of those, but yeah, just for the most part, yeah. We're still gonna be going there. It's unfortunate. I wish we were going outside, but yeah, I'm watching free agency day, and it was so nice just watching it on television and sitting there going, and they go breaking news on TV and you're like, oh, was it? It's cool. And then immediately though, the coverage ended and I went, where am I supposed to go? I have nothing. It's the darkness. Sucks. So yeah, we need it to exist. Anyway, let's take a quick break. Let's come back. Let's talk about intimidating things with the old Undertaker. Seem to be getting more intense, like global warming because of all these forest fires, right? Smoke and the air quality and, hey, what's happening to our planet and AI, right? There's these threats to us, humanity. Global warming, artificial intelligence, taking people's jobs and then potentially gaining sentience and who knows what happens from there, right? Under-discussed lately for me, sharks. So much.
Always a threat.
No, but okay, we've always had Shark Week, right? That was a real moment for sharks.
Mm-hmm.
Big moment for sharks was Shark Week.
Yeah.
And getting whatever celebrity was the host of Shark Week, that used to matter. I don't feel like that's still a thing anymore. I feel like, hey, I'm sure Shark Week is the thing. I'm just saying that was something
the
where...
Juice. The Shark Week juice is gone.
In college, I remember coming home and the fellas just having Shark Week on.
Well, I guess I'm skipping my classes today.
Yeah. And then Sharknado became a thing. Sharks had a moment. And then sharks went away for a little while. And it was, okay, you know... Still scary for sure, still interesting, but not always around. Our show doc has like now accumulated so many shark stories, and I don't think that this is just a byproduct of people have phones now. You know that there's more camera phones because there's stuff like one of the. Yeah, here's just a couple quick examples of things that Jobo, and maybe it's just Joe. Maybe I know Joe now, and so he's full. Netflix film crew attacked by sharks while shooting docuseries in Hawaii. All right, got that one. Gone. Where's the stupid one about?
Great white sharks lurked near swimmers, surfers 97% of
that's
the time.
That's the one.
Drone study.
Yeah, the drone study that there's sharks... really close to that many surfers. That one I went, well, pardon me. Like, it was always scary. We always had, who's the surfer who has the one arm? Because she got bit off by a shark.
Yeah, yeah.
She's like the coolest person. Growing up, you went, this is the coolest thing. You got bit by a shark and you went back out there and you still like, became a professional surfer.
Bethany Hamilton.
Bethany Hamilton? Did you know that off the cuff?
No, I
didn't. Ah.
Oh, man. Arvin, I was like...
should
have just said, yeah.
Yeah.
No, dude, if you knew that off the cuff, you were getting a promotion immediately. I'd have to find different ways to use a guy that just knows that kind of information. You're basically a walking ChatGPT if you know who that person is off by name. Anyway, but now the latest shark one is this video of The Undertaker... And the report is what exactly?
Well, so the report is, it's a video that, like, I guess the Undertaker's wife was taken of walking along the beach and there's a shark kind of swimming near her.
Yeah.
And so she's, like, you know, talking about how she needs it to get scared off a lot. And then in comes the Taker, the American badass, and just stands there and stares it down and it starts swimming away.
I've never
intimidated a shark so bad.
I hate this so much.
As the story goes.
No, I'm in pain. I'm actually sitting here being like, this is what I mean when I watch those Varsho at bats when there's runners on and I'm like, please just make contact and he swings through one. Now, this is the worst. This was the slowest news day story And I hate that. I hate so much when people go slow news day and they staple that one. I get it. Everyone's got to put the content on. Sometimes there are slow news days. Okay. It doesn't matter that you're the person who puts it out, but my friends, the amount of people that sent me this,
oh, yeah.
That's why I need to talk about it. The amount of people that DM this to me. And I know that I know way too many wrestling dorks.
There are a lot.
There's
in this
so
company.
Many.
And shocking amount.
Like I said, I love going to see a WWE event. I'm not sure. above it. I can't believe that there are dudes my age still that watch it like religiously on television, like for the amount of time. And it's not just WWE. It's like whatever, Wrestle Kingdom or whatever the other ones.
Ring of Honor and AEW.
Yeah, that they're all out there and they find time. And then they all lie. All the dudes are the same way. Blake, my boy Hayes, they're all the same way. They're like, I don't watch all of it. I just kind of skim. It's like, you know everything.
They know every beeline story.
Shut up. You guys know everything that's going on. You watch it like I watch Succession, where you're dialed in. You care deeply. It's just fine. Everybody has their things. But the amount of people that sent me the Undertaker thing, and I looked at it, and the headline was like, Undertaker saves wife from shark.
Stares
and
I went, by staring.
I was like, oh my God, we have a video of the Undertaker fighting a shark? And then it's just his wife standing on the beach, taking a video of him standing like very close. He's not waist deep out where the shark is. He's ankles deep at best, looking at a shark that... That doesn't look like...
It's a little tiger shark.
It's a little tiny
not a big boy.
And anyway, and he's just staring at that. And would I say this to the Undertaker's face? No. If he was here right now, I would be praising him, going, man, what's it like to be tougher than a shark?
A hero.
Because I'm a coward. Yeah, what's it like to be a hero? Yeah. No, but... Genuinely... If I was dating someone and they took that video of me looking at a shark, I wouldn't. I guess he's braver than I would. I don't know. I actually think I would put my ankles in the water for a tiger shark. I don't think I would be that afraid of that moment. But if someone took that video and they were like, I'm going to post this, like you stared down the shark, I'd be like, if you do that, I'll never talk to you again. I'll never speak to you again because this is so cringe. This is so unbelievably bad. Anyway, I think it's a huge loss. It's a huge L. It's a massive L for all wrestling fans. It's a huge L. It actually, to me, changes The Undertaker's legacy.
Wow.
This is worse for him than... Who did he lose to at WrestleMania? CM Punk?
I have no idea. To like break his streak or
whatever? Yeah, because there's the best meme ever is that guy who is just the people who are shocked that The Undertaker lost at WrestleMania. I don't think it was CM Punk. I think it was somebody else. Either way, someone screwed.
Brock Lesnar?
No. Was it Brock Lesnar?
The streak ran for 20 years.
Okay. I actually watched.
Reign finally came to an end at the hand of Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania 30 in 2014.
I saw it. I saw Taker get taken out.
You watching with Hayes?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Or like Greg or somebody. Yeah. Like one of those guys that loves wrestling. And listen, I like getting together with the fellas, any excuse.
Royal Rumble?
So Rumble and, exactly.
All-time. All-time sports event. Sports entertainment.
Yeah, but this is worse for The Undertaker than the loss to Brock Lesnar, by far. This is not good, Taker. You can't have this out there. You gotta scrub the internet. you gotta get some people on this. You gotta hire some people because this is a bad video. But yeah, sharks. Doing just way too many... There's a lot of shark content lately.
Are you a swim in the ocean guy, quickly?
Hell yeah. No problem with it.
Yeah,
although I will say that now with the amount of these shark studies, it's a little bit more in my head than it used to be. Got to tell you.
It's all Jobo's fault.
Yeah, not really thrilled about it.
Those orcas are out there.
Yeah, those ones are scary. The people that are like in kayaks and there's a whale around them, I'm like, whoa, that would spook me a lot. Anyway, subscribe to this podcast, leave 5 stars. Not doing podcasts only today because I got to run, but we will have good hour tomorrow. Thanks to Armin. Thanks to Simon. We'll see you tomorrow.